You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Knicks obviously start tomorrow night. We got into that a little bit earlier as far as the comments go with Mike Brown. I know you're excited about Mike Brown. I am not. I am curious, though, to see, BT, the offense here with the Knicks, because I do think it's going to be better. Although I don't believe, like, Cat is to me the biggest impact player here. I mean, we know what Brunson's going to do. We know what the ancillary pieces are going to do. Is Cat going to improve significantly under the offense of Mike Brown versus what he did against Tibbs? And then is that going to translate in the postseason? That, in fact, may be the biggest question, at least from my perspective, going into the Knicks season this year. And I don't think that he will.
I actually think the greatest beneficiary of this is going to be Mikal Bridges, who is going to love him or not sold on him. I get it, and I see both sides for sure. You know, a little soft for my liking with certain things, but when he's on, he does a lot of good things. I think this free flow is going to be very good for him. I think in terms of the Cat point that you bring up, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see a better version of Karl Anthony Towns. You know, I mean, listen, the numbers were really good last year. He was a starting big on the All-Star team. He was what? Was he second or third team All-NBA? He had some great accolades there. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a really good player with a ceiling. He's a little slow. He's a little sloppy. And he's a little soft for me. And that's, and you know, I, by the way, there's a million things that I love about him. That's just, that's my reservations about Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not trying to just diss him because I know he's a really good player and he brings a lot of value. The hope here, Sal, is that you get a little more pick and pop with him and Brunson, and that as time goes on, that Jalen Brunson is asked to do less and less and less leading up to the postseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I expect that to be the case because they're not going to have the heavy minutes in the regular season. That's in part of the design to have more depth than the Knicks had before. It's in part of, I'm sure, why they went away from Tom Thibodeau and went with Mike Brown. I just don't believe that it's going to work. Now, it's going to take a long time. We're going to be here. Well, hopefully we'll be here enjoying the ride of the course of, you know, the regular Knicks season here with these games where usually we don't. I mean, I'm sorry. But
I got you.
But with the Knicks regular season games, we usually don't dive into that the way that we would this year. It's going to be important in the regular season this year because it's a new head coach. Last year was a little, all right, let's see what the new mix of players are going to do.
Yeah, and Cat was brought in like basically now.
Correct.
Like 2 weeks before the start of the season.
So it was a bit later,
figure it out, guys.
Later than normal. Right, they didn't have time to gel, which is in part of why I wanted to have Tibbs back. Because I didn't think that it was fair to judge him solely on the new iteration of that Knicks team in just 1 year. But anyway, it'll be fun to digest and break down each game now because there is a different look, a different feel with Mike Brown and the pieces that they have in what should be. Now, I'm not saying that they are going to win the championship. I don't even think they're getting to the NBA Finals. I feel like that's kind of the normal expectation. Well, at the very least, with the East wide open, the Knicks are going to be an NBA Finals team. I'm not seeing that. I still think the Cavs, who they play on opening night, can be very dangerous. I'm just not there yet. But those are the expectations. I mean, this should be a team that should go compete at the highest level to go win an NBA championship.
The Knicks are entering a very interesting point of analysis here. We're way past the cute little story of COVID with Tom Thibodeau willing, you know, Julius Randle and a bunch of nobodies to a playoff spot. That's gone. You know, obviously, the Knicks have ascended to a point where they're one of the premier teams in the Eastern Conference. That doesn't get anybody excited anymore. It's winner or that's it. You either win or you came up short. Now, if there's catastrophic injury or injuries, God forbid, then that's a different point of analysis here. But You know, to me, and there's a, you know, I think the Cavaliers would be a tough playoff sell because Garland's not healthy now. So there's things downstream that are going to get a little trickier. I mean, if the Knicks don't win like low 60s, like their eye shut, then they got off to a bad start. I think the Knicks are going to obliterate the bad teams, and there's a lot of bad teams in the East, but they have not won anything together. Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs. I know he had some great moments. He still worries me a little bit. You know, it's they haven't played opening night yet. Mitchell Robinson's already might not play. Hasn't played at all, basically. I mean, they're doing maintenance nights with this guy, which is always terrifying. They got the pieces. And there's also some questions. I think the Knicks will be really good, but now the curtain goes up.
BT and Sal on the Fan. I just saw, too, was watching the ESPN scroll over here. I guess there was a report from Trey Wingo, total side note from the NBA. Trey Wingo said that the Dallas Cowboys trying to inquire about getting Max Crosby from the Raiders, one of the best defensive players in the league. Mm. All of a sudden, if you could, if the Cowboys could add Crosby here, maybe Dallas can become something different. That you know, Dallas right now 3-3. That's better than what people expected.
Now they got a tie as well, 3-3-1.
Dak plays. Excuse me, 3-3-1. Yes, Dallas play maybe better than expected. Dak Prescott is playing much better than anybody could have thought. And obviously, the defense for Dallas has been a big issue here. Trading Micah Parsons obviously didn't help that. But if they could get Crosby, I mean, he is a stud, dude. Now, again, I don't know if the Raiders are going to make him available at 2-5 and going nowhere. Maybe they would. Maybe they could get a haul back. Who knows? But that could change the landscape of not only the NFC East as it pertains to the Giants, but in general with the NFC.
And it's a move they got to make. I mean, you can't force the Raiders to trade him to you, but you can entice them enough where they eventually do. Because we're talking about, like, you know, the Giants getting a wide receiver, and we've had that conversation a few times. But at least if they don't, you can make the case, well, like, if I'm Joe Shane and they want too much for Jalen Waddle, I'm like, if I was running the team, I could say, I'm just getting going here with Jackson Dart. I need these draft picks to build out around him. Dak Prescott's not a kid. He's 30-something. You know, he's making a ton of money. The window's shutting here. And by the way, you know, Dak Prescott has done almost all of this without CeeDee Lamb, who just got back.
I know. He's been banged up. I know. Yeah. No, it's been impressive what he's done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Whatever you want to discuss on this Tuesday in the final hour is fine with us. Steve is calling from Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Steve.
Show on the Fan.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
So, BT, we've gone through this before. I heard about the St. John's number one. You're going to be getting my UConn calls like you have all last year.
Bring it on. For the first time in years, I could say bring it on.
Today was Big East Media Day, right?
Yeah, Big East Media. First preseason poll,
You could say bring it on, but as we talked about, there's only one team in the Big East that proves it once it comes to March.
I get it.
And that's the team in stores that goes back.
He's not wrong. Johnny's haven't won squat yet. They're loaded, but you got to win. Much respect for the UConn Huskies and Hurley, no doubt.
And they're going to be really good this year with Silas Demery Jr. now reminding me of Kristen Newton, a point guard Braylon Mullins replacing Lee McNeely. Don't sleep on the Huskies.
I'm not. I just said that they're really good.
I'm about to sleep about Sleeping you talking about the Huskies. Can you get to the Knicks point, please? Jeez, come on.
Okay. My bad. So on the Knicks, I know you guys were talking about Mike Brown and what he's going to do offensively. This is where we all align, so I'm a huge Knicks fan. One thing is, I don't want to hear about what he's going to do offensively, and I understand the free-flowing offense and that Tibbs is a defensive coach and all of that stuff, but I want to see if Karl Anthony Towns is going to make an improvement. It's not going to be, that man was lights out for us offensively. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, can Mike Brown teach him to play the pick and roll? Can Mike Brown teach him not to sleep defensively?
No.
Can he be more of an impact in the middle?
No.
Those are the things we need to be talking about. Can Mike Brown bring?
Well, the answer is no.
Hold on, Steve, I disagree with that.
If Tom Thibodeau couldn't unlock that, why would an offensive-minded coach in Mike Brown, who I liked that the Knicks hired, but no, the answer is no. He's slow.
I get it, and that's my concern. My concern was never offense with this team.
It should be offense. If you were paying attention, here's the reason why. Tom Thibodeau did not maximize Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns together last year. So you could say, well, offensively,
agreed,
they were pretty good. So that's the point. Mike Brown's not going to come in here. And thanks for the call, Steve, and good luck
to
your
Steve.
Huskies.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
Yeah. Mike Brown is not going to come in here and make Karl Anthony Towns a defensive player. That's not what he is. If Tom Thibodeau couldn't do it, you're right, BT. Brown's not going to do it. So what can you do instead of that? And that's why the Knicks, I think, in part, went away from Tibbs, saying, well, he's not ever going to turn Cat into it. Nobody's going to turn Cat into a defensive player. So we need to maximize what this group of players can do offensively, which is something that did not happen last year.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, now you're going to see more, if he's healthy, more Mitch Robinson at the five, Cat at the four. You saw a little bit of that a year ago when Tom Thibodeau obviously had to make some adjustments
here. I want to play him on the perimeter. We've talked about that
last year.
You've always
said that.
Yeah, I know.
You've said that a lot here.
Because he's an elite shooter for a big.
There's no doubt. He could stroke him. He could shoot. I mean, 25 points a game, a ton of rebounds. Think about this, guys. Think about when the Knicks were at the lowest of lows, and we said to you, hey, you know, you get somebody, you know, in a couple of years, say if you didn't know who Cat was, in a couple of years, you're going to have a 7'1" big who averages 25 points a game, is 82-83% from the line, which is money for a guard, let alone a big. Patrick wasn't that. And 42-43% from behind the arc in the modern NBA.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? I mean, and that's what he is. Those are the stats that I just recited. The problem is that it's not a big problem because the good is much more than the bad with Cat. But the numbers are one thing, and then you watch him play. And you watch him trying to go to the rim against the Pistons. And I know he had the monster three. I get it. Like double pumping against smaller guys and getting pushed off his spot and not protecting the rim. He's not a perfect player. If he was, he'd be one of the three greatest centers in the history of basketball if he was a defender.
He'd be an NBA champion if he was. He's that big. He's that skilled for that size.
Yeah.
That if he were buttoned up and doing all those things, he would be an NBA champion.
If he was Patrick Ewing defensively, he'd be a champion.
He's been surrounded by enough talent, so where he's been part of the problem in the postseason, both here in New York and in Minnesota.
And true. And he could not, I don't mean the last year or so when they got there, but he was really unable to elevate the Timberwolves from a horrendous team to anything that was relevant. I mean, he had a lot of lean years there. It's one thing to do it if you're on a bad baseball team. When you're a star and the first overall pick and you're on a basketball team and you're not getting to the playoffs with eight in each conference, how did you impact the bottom line?
And for the record, I like Towns. He made some tough buckets. The problem is too many times he tried to take over the out of control ball carrying into the
elbows.
Oh,
flip.
My
that
God.
Drove me nuts,
no,
dude.
No, just stick to your strengths. So I'm hoping that Mike Brown could have him playing where he needs to be playing, which to me would be more on the perimeter. Matt is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. So what I wanted to bring up was the Knicks. I'm tired of the whole Tom Thibodeau victim card because, I mean, after watching him for the amount of years, and then you look back at last year, they had almost 950 minutes with that starting five, which is almost two seasons worth, and he still couldn't unlock the combo between Brunson and Cat. So I just wanted to hear your take on, like, why there's still a victim Tibbs conversation when, at the end of the day, he had almost two seasons worth.
I'll tell you why, Matt. I got an answer for you. Good call. It really is a good question. Now, I'm not doing that. Number one, he's got $30 million coming to him, and he's parachuting it. He was at St. John's practice, up at UConn practice, at the Celtics practice. Tom Thibodeau's good. Trust me. The reason why I think he does get some sympathy from some, or treated unfairly, is because the Knicks were so wretched that there's almost an elevation based on the rightful appreciation of what he gave us after years of darkness.
For me, it's not even about that. It's not about a victim Tibbs. He's the better coach. It's simple. I believe Tom Thibodeau is light years better as a head coach than Mike Brown. Now, we could disagree on that. We can see what happens with the Knicks. But I believe Tom Thibodeau does things as an NBA head coach that Mike Brown could only dream of doing. So that's why I don't like it. I don't feel bad for Tibbs. I think the Knicks screwed up. The team that I care about, I think they screwed up hiring a coach who I know is a proven commodity and built this team to where they need to be. And you can give me all the numbers you want. He was here with one season with these guys, and they weren't even fully healthy until Mitchell Robinson came back toward the end of the year. So do the math on that. Like, he didn't have nearly two seasons. He didn't even have one full season with this group. That's it. But it's not about, you know, sympathy or victim Tibbs. He's going to be fine, to your point. I just believe he's a better head coach. So why in the world would I be on board with firing the guy who I believe is a better head coach for a guy who's less than? Even though I understand that the offense from Mike Brown should upgrade this team and maximize their potential to their hope to a championship level. I just don't think it's going to get there because I don't think that they have the right pieces around Jalen Brunson.
This is a complicated, even though you know where I stand, but an analysis for me because I've got great respect for Tom, and I know he's good. the thing that I had to reconcile a while ago, and I did, I don't think he's going to be great. Like, I don't think there's a next level to Tom Thibodeau, and I'd like to win. It's bad enough the Jets can't even score a touchdown. I'd like to get a Knicks championship at some point. And the more, and they've got the horses to do it. And the more I watch Tom Thibodeau, whether it's, and you guys know this, Sal, you too, we watch them too many times. Guy's red hot, takes him out. Too many times he just doesn't utilize the bench, which makes you tired, and guys get banged up, whether it was OG 2 years ago, whether it's, I'm not going to say it's Mitchell Robinson. I think he just has a bad body with that. But too many guys get jacked up. Josh Hart playing 40 minutes a night. Like, he never adjusted. So to me, Tom Thibodeau's greatest strength going back for the majority of his career was defense. It's now an offensive league. So what he was best at is no longer as important because now you need more advanced offensive philosophies, which Mike Brown has, and Tom does not.
See, that's where we disagree.
There's nothing to disagree about. He's an elite offensive coach. There's nothing to debate.
I think he's a good head coach.
But that's different than saying he's not a good offensive coach. That's what he's good at.
You could say all those things about Tibbs, and then I could say, fair enough, who's the guy that you're bringing in? And they chose Mike Brown. And by the way, they chose Mike Brown after basically asking every team in the NBA to interview their head coach. I mean, how many guys do the Knicks need to get to before they finally settled on Mike Brown, who by his own former player's admission, even if it's just one, I bet you more, is a pushover and is friendly and tries to be too player-friendly? Like, I don't get behind that. Offensively, sure, I need to see it. I want to see what he does with this elite offensive group that the Knicks have. We said it last year. It pertains true this year. It's the best or the most talented offensive team in the history of the New York Knicks franchise. Let's see it. Mike Brown's some offensive guru, and he's a good coach. Then they better go out there and win 60-plus games and do it in the postseason and at the very least get to an NBA Finals.
That's I'm going to beat you here. I mean, we think that Dable's seat is hot. If Mike Brown's not rolling with this group, and with these expectations and with, you know, Jason Tatum out and injuries across the board in the East, he's going to get crushed, and I will lead the crushing if I don't see what I like, I promise you. But there's a couple different things here. Will they win a championship? I don't know. We could debate that. Has he been an elite offensive coach? Yes. Like, that's what he does. Do I think it was time for a new voice? I do. That's why I say it's complicated with Tom Thibodeau, because I know he's really good. And the other thing that's going to be interesting, now, he's got $30 million, so there's buyout stuff, whatever, and offset language. Nobody even tried to hire Tom Thibodeau. Now, it was late in the coaching cycle. I get that. There's only so many openings here. And he's going around, you know, doing some coaching clinics now, and people respect his knowledge. But if somebody gets fired for a team that was supposed to be good this year, do they bring in Tom Thibodeau? I don't think that they do. And if they don't, that says one thing. If they do, well, maybe he's got more value than I perceive him to have the league right now.
He's making a round of what every basketball team that's functioning is bringing him in for some kind of advice. So I don't think it's a team's league. I don't think the league looks at Tibbs and says, well, he can't coach anymore.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that at all. But Tom Thibodeau's not like 77 or 78 years old. He's in his early 60s. So he was on the open market. His team won a lot of games. Nobody tried to hire him. That's just a fact. Yeah. If you have an NFL coach who's out there who's winning 10, 11, 12 games a year, even if they don't get to the Super Bowl, but they're getting to the divisional round or conference championship, I promise you that guy's getting called. Like, somebody's going to call that guy to hire him. That's why I bring up, again, $30 million is a lot of team to try to buy out. I don't know it very well might be the deterrent, just the financial aspect. And I think Tom is really good. I think the game's passed him by a little bit, but that's just my opinion.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more calls we come back.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
And we talked a lot of basketball so far. We've talked a bunch of NFL. Looking forward to the Giants game. I know it's only Tuesday, so it's hard to look ahead, but we have been doing that, trying to move on from what was a brutal loss, obviously, Sunday in Denver, and look ahead to the huge game with the Eagles as the week goes on. You heard Boldy talk about it there, BT, about the Eagles not having a good defense, Eagles not being able to run the football as well with Saquon Barkley this year after doing a year ago. That's what I thought was going to happen to them last year. I thought the offensive line with Kelce, you know, moving on, retiring, that they would be worse. I didn't believe in Saquon. Of course, he goes out there, has an MVP-type year. They win the freaking Super Bowl. So this year is what I thought was going to happen last year to the Eagles. I bet they're under before the year, or at least picked they're under. But now maybe the Eagles still vulnerable, where it feels like, I don't know, they're starting to turn the corner, hard to sweep a team. But maybe the Giants can sneak up on the Eagles again and sweep this season series, and then all of a sudden be back in play here at 3-5. That changes everything. If they could just get this win on Sunday, it would erase, to me, the loss in Denver Sunday.
I think Philly is pretty well positioned to play pretty well the rest of the way. I do. I would probably bet on them to I would definitely bet on them to win the division. The Giants.
The schedule, you're saying, or just in general? You think
I just think they're better than Dallas. I think they're better than the Giants. I know what, obviously the Giants smoked them. They're better than the Commanders. I mean, they do have a couple of wins here. We could focus on, well, they lost to the Giants, but they just won at Minnesota, which was, you know, a nice response after the two losses. They beat a really good Tampa Bay team that was in Tampa. A weird game, but they still beat them. They did beat the Rams, who were putting up some good numbers. That was the third week. They won at Kansas City. Kansas City's, you know, physically diminished at that point, but they still beat them. If they lose to the Giants, that's a little different.
Think,
now it's 3 out of 4. You got to go to Green Bay and play the Lions. I get it.
Yeah.
Then you got to play at the Packers and Detroit.
Yeah.
But I think that they win the division.
This,
I do.
This could be the game for the Eagles. We talk about with the Giants season-defining game this year. And then, again, like, step back, big picture. Okay, at least the Giants are back to being relevant, and they have the star quarterback. We get that. Right now, I want to live in the moment. Week 8, there's still hope and reason to believe if they were able to win this game. Okay, 3-5, obviously not great, but you're in play at that point with 3-5. And that would have included wins over the Eagles twice and a win over the Chargers. So it's not just any kind of 3-5.
I'm still hopeful now. I mean, yeah. I'm leaning into it, not just because we want something positive to talk about. There's been evidence that's presented to us that, and you know, me specifically, that has been to the contrary of what I thought I'd see this year for the Giants. So you got to react in real time. Listen, we say it all the time. We could have one opinion on one day, and then we watch something, or we see something, or we hear something, and the opinion can change. On the lowest scale of evaluation, and this is, I great respect for this, the Giants have forced us to reevaluate who we think that they are.
NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We were talking some baseball earlier in the show. Damian in St. James wants to chime in on some baseball. What's up, Damian?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I had 2 points with the Yankees. Now that the Mariners are out, I really want the Yankees to go after Josh Naylor, like bad. Left-handed bat, intense fielder, 20 home runs, 30 stolen bases. You know what I mean? Another element on the bases.
What's Ben Rice doing?
A really
doing?
Good fit.
What are we doing with Rice then next year? DH? Catch?
Yeah, it's Rice. I want him to DH or catch.
What about Stanton?
Stanton, I mean, you know, occasional.
He's making big money.
You got to build a roster out there. I don't like Naylor as much as others. I was having this talk the other day. You could love Naylor, that's fine, and the Yankees do need a first baseman, but then you got to be willing to move on from Ben Rice potentially. Like, would you trade him for a better piece that can fit? I don't know if I would do that. I love him offensively, but again, he's a DH, so they got to figure those things out.
Yeah. My other point is this. In terms of the Ohtani conversation against Judge, you know, I feel Ohtani's a better player. I know you don't sell, but I think now, I mean, again, I'm an intense Yankee fan, but I think you could safely say that Aaron Judge is the greatest compiler of all time. I mean, he's amazing, but he's a compiler.
What?
Yes. He's a compiler. I have other Yankee friends that feel the same way. I mean, again, how many big moments has he really come through?
What?
Damian, this is...
Do you know what a compiler is? Because I'm not sure you understand that
definition. Yeah, no, I know. I understand it. I mean, again, it's great stats, great, you know, everything's great. But again, when the lights shine brightest, where does he go?
A compiler is somebody, and thank you for the call, Damian.
Thanks, buddy.
A compiler is somebody who's put up average stats for a longer period of time.
Yep.
He's compiling those numbers, which is why at the end of it, it looks so great. But really in year, let's just say, for example, the guy hits 25 home runs a year, and he did it for 15 years versus a guy who's hit 40 home runs a year that did it for 7. That the compiler would be somebody who did it at an average level longer. There is nothing about Aaron Judge that is average.
That was a frighteningly off-base call. I'm going to give you, I don't know where to go with that.
Now you could say he's not better than Ohtani. Sure.
We can have some discussions. Yeah. He's not Babe Ruth, the compiler. Wow. All right, so we're going to let that one sit out there for a second. I'm going to give you a name of somebody. It's a different sport that I believe was a bit of a compiler, and I hate to do it because he was one of my favorite players of all time, and that's Mark Jackson.
Okay.
So Mark Jackson, you know, when he comes out and he wins the Rookie of the Year with the Knicks in 87, and he's on this really nice trajectory to be, he was an all-star, then he hurt his knee, then Pat Riley came in, couldn't play that defense for Pat, and he eventually gets bounced, and he starts bouncing around the league. Clippers, Pacers, played for a lot of Utah at the end. So Mark Jackson played until the age of 38. Now, at the age of 28, Mark Jackson couldn't play defense. Like, the joke was he couldn't guard a fire hydrant. Mark's lateral quickness was not, and again, he's one of my all-time favorites, not existent. But when you look at the all-time assist list, and I don't know where it is now, I haven't checked, but there was a point, and he very well still might be, like top 5 or top 6. Now, do I look at Mark Jackson as one of the top 5 or 6 point guards? No. You got to talk about Magic, Jason Kidd, John Stockton. I mean, those are names that just without even thinking about this. But because he stuck around and compiled and played a lot of games, he played for the Raptors. I forgot about them. I mentioned Utah, finished up with the Rockets, he played for the Knicks, the Pacers, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Raptors, the Nuggets, and the Rockets. 17 years bounced around. Some of those years were really good, but if you didn't see him play and you look at the assist total, you think he'd be an all-time great. He's not.
I'll give you two guys in baseball. And by the way, I think our caller, what he was trying to say is he thinks Judge's numbers are empty numbers. I mean, because he said, when has Judge gotten a hit in a big spot? I mean, come on, dude. Did you watch this postseason? And he had a big home run in last postseason. He's also had big home runs in the regular season, whether it's against Garrett, Crochet, whoever. Like, come on. But I think he was misusing the term compiler. Two guys that come to mind for me, compilers in baseball. Don Sutton, Craig Biggio.
Okay, I'm not going to push back on those.
No, I'm not saying,
you know, one pitcher, one hitter guy.
I'm not saying they're not. It's just, for whatever reason, those are two guys that popped into my head. I'm sure we could have plenty of others. You want to throw in Harold Bean, Scott Rowland, whatever. I mean, there are plenty of guys you could say compiler. Biggio played 20 years in the big leagues and he had 3,060 hits. He was not getting 3,000 hits if he did not play 20 years. So for me, that's a bit of a compiler. Now, he did have 130 hits in his final season.
Did you ever think Biggio was one of the better players in baseball?
And that's kind of the
point. I did. Maybe not like not a Robbie Alomar, but I always thought Bijou was really good. But I'm kind of with you on the compilation.
Good player, Hall of Famer, I don't know, whatever. Sutton, for sure, is a compiler. Don Sutton, he played, let's see.
He came up in the 60s.
23 years. He won 324 games,
yep.
But not once did he win 20.
What was the ERA?
3.26. I mean, it's not bad.
That's not terrible back
then. But compiling the wins. Again,
I agree. Yeah.
The argument for a compiler
is... Blylevin, you get a little bit of that.
Whatever, like mid to a little, maybe average to a little above average, but did it longer than the guy who did it at a very high level for a shorter period. So that is clearly not Aaron Judge. Come on.
Nah, I mean, that's CM. By the way, Stockton first in assists. Chris Paul, too. Forgot about Chris. J. Kidd. LeBron 4, Steve Nash, Mark Jackson 6.
I can't believe you're disrespecting Jackson.
I'm not disrespecting Mark Jackson. Mark's my boy.
Yeah. Your guy.
MJ. St. John's, Bishop Lachlan, stand up. But I got to call it the witness. Mark Jackson's got more assists than Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson and Isaiah Thomas and Gary Payton.
I was just about to get Ronald. He was holding on for a while, but then he hung up there and wanted to talk some hoops. John is in Wantagh. What's up, John?
Johnny.
Hey, fellas.
What's up, John?
Hey, you Yankee fans get dumber and dumber every day, huh?
Oh, take it easy, John. Take it easy.
No, listen, I'm a Mets fan. I've been dealing with them since the 70s and 80s growing up in Queens.
Well, calling Judge a compiler is almost as bad as it gets. Like, that
is. He's a Yankee fan. He probably wears a name on the back of the jersey, too. You know what's going to happen to the Yankee fans? We're not going to get a first baseman this year. What about Kyle Tucker? It's not fair. Mommy, can you help me?
John, I mean, come
what
on.
A nutball.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. That was entertaining. But, I mean, what are you getting on the Yankee fans for? It was one guy who said Judge is a compiler. That's it. And you can say that you want Josh Naylor. Again, BT, when we talk about this, and we'll get into this during the course of the offseason here, how you want to build a roster, how they should, I'm fine with bringing in Naylor, but then you got to make some difficult decisions.
I know you do.
Like, either move on from Rice. You can't have 4 or 5 DHs. You can't do it. It's not the right way to build a ball club. So if you want to bring in a first baseman, whether it's Pete Alonso, they need a right-handed bat, whether it's Josh Naylor because you like him, whoever it may be, then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Ben Rice. And I'm not saying you need to keep him, but those are decisions that had to be made.
I'm good with Rice, assuming and knowing he's going to be a hard worker. He's going to put in a million hours this offseason. I think he could become functional, I hope, at first base, and I know he's going to hit. I think he's going to be in the middle of the order for a while, so I'm not looking to get rid of him. The thing that's probably most interesting to me, and we've got all winter to hit it, you're right, you know, do either the Yanks or the Mets make a legitimate offer for Kyle Tucker? I mean, a big offer. And do either the Yanks or the Mets, and this will probably be more Mets when we hit this the other day, Skubal. Do the Yanks or Mets put together a legitimate trade offer?
Well, the Yanks are not going to get Skubal.
I don't think so. That's why I'm saying probably more Mets there. Although, you know, with all these injuries here, but no, first of all, the Mets need him.
Yeah.
The Yankees don't, although I don't like the fact that everybody's banged up and you don't know about Cole, you don't know about
whatever. You're going to trade for Tarek's. Think about it for a second.
Not?
First of all right, let's assume everybody has what it takes to get him at some point, just willing what you would be willing to part with.
Uh-huh.
Then they're going to have to sign him to a near $400 million contract. There's no, like, the Yankees just can't do that. It's not a knock on them. They've got money invested in Rodon, Fried, and Gerrit Cole.
I know. And Stanton's making money, and Judge making money.
I'm talking about just the pitching alone.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is I think that, now, listen, I don't know what Lombard's going to be. I would imagine he would be appealing to the Tigers. This is not crazy fantasy land. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No. No, not after you got burned with the Soto stuff. I'm not doing
Lombard,
that.
Lombard, Spencer Jones,
Schlittler,
Ben
peace
Wright.
Out. I'm good with Cam. No way. If they get Skubal, which they won't, I think you guys might.
I think the question for the Mets would be, if the Tigers said, we need Nolan McLean, would you do that?
And you said no.
I said I would tell them to kiss my ass because then I just wait for him to get to free agency in a year where I know the broke Tigers can't afford him.
And then what if they say, I'm going to trade him to the Dodgers and the Dodgers are going to give him 7 years at $7 gazillion
and
he never gets Skubal.
Yeah, win a World Series. You can't compete with them anyway. So then I'll wait till the offseason and then go throw, you know, $380, $400 million at him, sign him in the offseason and hope to make the best of it.
What if the Dodgers say we got $500 for him?
Put it this way.
The Mets do have the money.
Put it this way. I don't think the Tigers are in a position of power.
They have to trade him, period. Must.
I mean,
and everybody knows it.
The only other option is let it play out and hope to win a World Series. You'd be that, oh, like gosh. That is so stupid.
No way.
You either have to sign him long term,
yep.
or you have to trade him and maximize your value.
Yeah.
And if you wait till midseason, you're not maximizing your value because now it's only a half year
yep.
under control. And by the way, who knows what's going to happen with him in the season? God forbid, what if he gets hurt or something like that?
You nailed it. You got to do it now. You got to do it in the next few months. There's not a doubt that he's dealt.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll finish up on the phones when we come back.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call today brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. We've also talked about Evan Roberts playing baseball, and Chris is in Lindenhurst, who maybe has some insight into that. What's up, Chris?
I have his batting line and his career pitching line. Now, batting line, he played in 100 games, 257 at-bats. Career batting average of 163.
Oh, come on, Ev.
All right, now
dude,
wait a minute.
That's bad.
163.
That's even worse than I thought. Oh.
Wait a second, though. Now, he's a career leader in walks.
Oh, geez.
So he walked 93 times in 257 at-bats. So his on-base percentage career was .398.
That's good for $30 million a year now in the show.
Who's taking walks in Twitter baseball?
I know.
A swing.
Do you want the pitching line?
Yeah, of course. He's a lefty.
Okay.
It's got to be bad, right?
Not really, but you might as well. Go ahead. Yeah.
Now, he was the 2013 Cy Young Award winner in Twitter baseball, but I don't have that line from – I just have the career numbers in front of me because I'm at work and I have this stuff with me. So career-wise, he pitched 155 and two-thirds innings, gave up 225 hits, 210 runs.
Nice.
151 earned. You'll love these numbers. He struck out 146.
Who kept all these stats?
I think this guy did.
I did.
What's Chris, wrong with you?
You married? Do you have a girlfriend? You have a hobby?
I'm married. I have two kids.
Yeah, this was his escape. I mean, he wants to get the hell out of there and dive into the numbers of Twitter baseball. All right, there you have it. Some fun earlier. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Now, we have actually some news here. Woody Johnson spoke today. I don't know if you've seen all these quotes, BT, but I'm reading this. It was an article that was posted on SNY.TV.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Johnson spoke at the NFL's fall league meeting in New York. I'm going to read you some quotes here, see if this can get you regenerated.
I saw them. I purposely didn't read them because I want to do this first reaction on the air. Go ahead.
Quote, I do believe in Aaron. I see the way he handles a room. If I were a player, I would respond to him because he's the real deal. No BS. There's no second agendas. What you're hearing is the truth. And a lot of times, players don't get the truth. They get a lot of gobbledygook.
Oh, no.
That's a quote.
Well, how did he start it? If I was a player?
I do believe it, Aaron.
You're not a player. You're a jock sniffer.
I see the way he handles a room. If I were a player, I would respond to him. A lot of times, players don't get the truth. They get a lot of gobbledygook. It continues.
Yikes.
Johnson said he speaks to Glenn daily, communicates his faith by hugging him each day and telling him, keep the faith, man.
Stay strong, brother.
Keep the faith, man. This gets better and better. It looks like it looks like he's turning around parts of it. Come on.
It is score a touchdown, Woody.
It looks like he's turning around parts of it.
The defense has gotten better, so he's probably meaning that. The last two games, defense been good, so that's been turned around.
Here's more.
So he's not wrong, to be fair to Woody.
It's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that he's got.
Oh, God.
Referencing Justin Fields' struggles.
Back to the Madden ratings. Remember that?
He has the ability, but something is just not jiving.
Yeah, he can't go to a second receiver.
Woody is odd, dude. He's just not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results across the league. You have to play consistently at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Please tell me it's over soon.
There's a little bit more. With Jets standing at 0-7, Johnson told reporters that he sees what you see, before adding, but I see more hope than you do. You can't win with hope, he added, but it helps. Oh, my God. Let's see. I think the defense special team's doing better. Defense pretty good. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to take the high road here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the high road today. Was there anything else you wanted to get in there?
Basically, they're going to name Tyrod Taylor. Johnson said, it's completely up to the coach. I'm not going to be involved in any of that, talking about the quarterback decision.
Yeah.
That's what they're paid to do. It's what experts are doing.
Yeah. I'm not going to be involved in any of the quarterback stuff, except what I told Aaron Rodgers to get lost.
But that'll be involved with. Yeah.
And when you just badmouth the quarterback in all those quotes.
Right, he just ripped Justin Fields. Now, did they announce, Rami, that it is going to be Tyrod Taylor?
Rich Cimini announced that they're leaning towards it, but not official.
I think that's the right move. For now,
I would still go with Fields myself. Fields has, to me, gives them a better chance to win just with his legs alone than Tyrod Taylor. But I understand, I can't pound the desk for Justin Fields. I don't think he's very good.
It's a tough mountain to stand on.
Yeah, here's what I can guarantee you this. Regardless of who's starting, I'm not watching on Sunday. There'll be plenty of other games to watch. Maybe it'll make the quadrant, and maybe I have to wait for a half to see before it's officially over. Come on.
All right, so I'm going to take the high road, as I started to say with Woody. I will take all those quotes. I heard them. I went through them in my mind. I will offer a state of the Woody address when it is time. It is not time at 1:52 going into week 8.
Give us a little teaser.
There will be time. There will be time.
I feel some regeneration from you.
Yeah, listen, there's no regeneration. Jets are awful this year. You know it.
I think you're inspired by the owner.
No. I'm going to actually start dissing the owner if this keeps up. I'm trying to be nice today. Don't pull me down that road. I'm actually trying to be really nice.
Those big words.
I'm trying to take the high road, Sal.
Oh.
Gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook.
It's like your grandma saying malarkey. Woody, get current, will you?
Gobbledygook.
Maybe I'm going to have to start ripping them now. Show's over. Woody, come on, man. Did you hear Beningo say yesterday, I want to sit down with Woody like he's going to meet him at the Bing or something? I want to sit down with Woody.
Yeah, come on.
Who are you bringing with you? Does he have a gun? What do you mean you want to sit down?
Come on, Joe.
You lunatic Joe?
Yeah, Joe, get that gobbledygook. Get that over to Woody. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Rami filling in for Hoff, who took off to take swings at Citi Field.
That is hard.
Maybe he'll show up for work tomorrow. More on that tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We do appreciate each and every one of you. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck.
I know. But thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.